Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, I'm going to interview the amazing founder of Medelita, and her name is Laura Francisco. I'm so excited to have her on the podcast. She's developed the best white coats that I have ever worn and scrubs, and just a very enterprising physician's assistant. So welcome to the podcast, Laura.
Thank you so much, Dr. K. It's very exciting to be here.
Yes, so I am inspired by you because you are in the healthcare industry. You're a physician's assistant. For how many years have you been a PA?
20 years.
Really?
Since 1999, yeah. Yep. Long time.
And which field were you in originally? What type of a PA?
I was in emergency medicine and mainly pediatric emergency medicine. And for a little while, when I got the idea for Medelita and wanted to pursue more regular hours, I was doing urgent care for a bit as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of people in healthcare sometimes transition to phase two of their life and their career, and their creative side comes out. So what inspired you to help us find alternatives to baggy, ugly scrubs?
Yeah, I think it was just a consistent receipt of frumpy, boxy, shapeless garments. And it didn't matter if I was a first-year student in PA school wearing my first short coat, or if I was in inner city in Jamaica, Queens, and issued my first set of scrubs and lab coat for my first job, or if I was in a high-end Orange County emergency room and everyone was a VIP, I was still issued the same set of unisex, shapeless, poor quality scrubs and lab coats. And I just thought that was fascinating. And we get so much schooling, education, so many sacrifices in our career, and we get to this point and we don't dress the part. And I just thought to do something about it.
And your fabrics have really interesting and amazing technology that most scrubs do not have. Describe that.
Yeah. It was all part of the development process in my mind. You know, initially it was all about just the shaping, taking that unisex style and feminizing it, you know, just a little bit for the female clinician. But along that research process, I thought, you know, why not utilize performance fabrics and make specific, you know, performance features that were applicable to the wearer. I was pretty obsessed with companies like Patagonia and Lulu and Adidas and Nike, and they were all really moving into this performance fabric phase you know, innovating around that concept. And I thought, why not do some research and figure out how I can develop both scrub fabrics and lab coat fabrics that makes sense to someone working in medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the performance and the stretch and the comfort is so important. Like, I don't know about you, but I love the idea of wearing a uniform every day because it just eliminates one more thing that I have to think about deciding. Like, I have enough decision fatigue from having my normal chaotic life. So it's really great to just throw on an outfit without thinking about accessories and earrings and just know that I look good and I feel good and I'm ready to work. And it's a totally different mindset. When I wear my scrubs, I have a different mindset. I'm ready to work. I'm not in my frilly dress and not like trying to look pretty. I just know it's going to be a down and dirty day and I got to be ready for it. So,
right. Yeah. We just tried to, you know, the scrubs are moisture wicking and cooling, easy care. They never fade. They never pill. They're, you can wash them on any temperature you'd like. And they're odor free, which was really important to me working in ER. You just get really hot and sweaty and doing tons of procedures and parents over each shoulder threatening you and you just gotta sweat it out. And, you know, so I wanted, you know, the scrubs to function in that way. And then our lab coats, you know, we all know the irony of wearing a white coat in a rather dirty environment and keeping that clean and keeping that pristine, you know, professional look that's, you know, wrinkle free and stain free and just has a blazer like appearance. In a very high quality fabric, and that honestly had never been thought of before.
It's true. And I've never had a white coat that makes me actually look slimmer and doesn't have weird bulges in places where men have bulges. And, you know, it's just very tailored and fitted. So that's actually quite innovative. And it's really honestly been one of my favorite white coats to wear. So, and I've tried the new one. So you had a new coat that came out yesterday with stretch technology. And that's a real first in our whole industry.
Totally. Yeah, it took a very long time. It honestly took 6 years to get it right because the stretch fibers aren't known to be as durable. And we require wash temperatures of 60 degrees Celsius and dryer cycles at 24 minutes on hot. And it's historically been impossible to have those requirements with a stretch fabric. But, you know, sort of the never give up philosophy allowed me to get to the point of being able to have that introduction yesterday with the six new styles.
Yes, and it's very comfortable, and I love the idea of some stretch and some give, like just like jeans that have a little stretch are awesome. It's great. Our postures are, you know, the white coats get very heavy. When I was an intern, my white coat literally had, you know, like a pharmacopoeia, a stethoscope, a little, you know, protein bar snack, of course, hand sanitizer. And then on top of that, the book for whatever rotation I was doing, like, you know, Plastic Surgery Secrets for Dummies or whatever, the little, have these books and all PAs have these books in their pockets. And if you're a good student, every single rotation you have that so you can whip it out and look something up. And nowadays everybody has their phones, but I still think books are better in some ways, right? So anyway, I've hunched over with so much in my pockets. My mom would my mom used to sew me extra pockets in my white coat. So the fact that you have inside coat pockets is amazing.
Yeah, we do think a lot about posture, you know, when we're working on the designs and trying to make it not front heavy and just really getting a nice balance and a nice perfect fit so that, you know, you just don't notice it for a 12 or 14 hour shift. It shouldn't be something that you have to think about or that's bothersome. It should just be a great asset.
Maybe you should do like a support undergarment that makes my shoulders stretch back and gives me like that good posture, you know, and alignment, because we're also hunched over, like me when I'm operating, when I'm injecting, it's all this forward motion, looking at my laptop, looking at my phone. So I really love the idea of like a really great garment for posture and pulling those shoulder blades back. That should be like a really fun project since you can do the impossible.
We have to continually innovate. And as of yesterday, I need to keep going. So thank you for that idea. That's a great one.
How was it leaving medicine? Like, did you feel like it was a great divide? Like taking an entrepreneur idea, did you have to work a side hustle for a long time before you decided to leave being a PA and be more of a full-time entrepreneur?
Yeah, I, you know, like I said, I was doing urgent care after ER just because I needed to control my schedule a little bit easier with all the meetings that I was having and the travel that I was doing to try to get MetaLead off the ground. But I didn't intend to not, I always thought I'd work part-time. I had no idea that it would be this time-consuming. I work way more hours than I ever used to. And I'm just kind of flabbergasted by the fact that there is no end. You know, I loved ER because that was 12-hour shift that turned into a 14-hour shift, but then it was done. And I knew my schedule and I knew when I was coming back and that was it. But, you know, when you own your own business, especially in apparel, there really is no end. When 5 o'clock hits and a lot of people go home, that's when most of my contacts are starting their work, you know, in Asia. Mm-hmm. So that is another beginning of my day. So it's not easy, but it's been fun.
Do you travel and look at each factory and kind of inspect, you know, the business partners that you want to work with across the seas?
Yeah, absolutely. I've done all of that. I've done less of it recently, thanks to wonderful business partners that I have. We have, you know, the three young children, and I really try to stay home for them. One of my business partners right now is in Vietnam, and my husband and business partner is leaving for the Middle East tomorrow. So I'm right now like on the home front, and I'm really happy to be here. But we're lucky because a lot of the partners come to us. You know, this week we had friends, you know, partners visit from Taiwan, from one of our factories, and you know, usually once a week we host someone here, and that face to face is really what's allowed us to take this business to the next level. We have a 9-year-old daughter.
Well, how old are your children?
She's in fourth grade. And we have twins, boy-girl twins, and they're in first grade.
How amazing. I have boy-girl twins. My first pregnancy was my chief year of residency in surgery at UCLA, and I have boy-girl twins. And now they're 20, which is crazy. Yeah, and they're in college.
I need to hit you up for some advice. We're hitting a really tough stage. It's getting really tough. Yeah.
It never gets easier. It doesn't get easier. Mothers of twins, you should definitely follow that hashtag Mother of Twins and join a Mother of Twins club. And it was always great to separate them as boy and a girl. The girl's always like the dominating twin. And they always had to be in separate classrooms. And I have lots of great tips for you. But yeah, twins are hard.
I need those. We separated them for the first time this year. Kindergarten, they were together because I loved that teacher so much. And this year they're in partner teacher classes. So side by side, but separate. And so far it's actually going really well.
That's great. It's always like double the homework, double the book reports. Yes. And it's interesting, but you know, they're a joy, of course. what advice do you have for people who are thinking of, you know, breaking into that second phase of life where they've kind of done one career for a while and they feel satisfied and fulfilled, but they're creatively stifled or they want to try something else and do their side hustle?
Yeah, I absolutely encourage it. I think the important thing is making a prototype or, executing as soon as you can, getting some feedback, but really just getting it out there. It absolutely doesn't have to be perfect. I mean, I launched Metalita in 2008. I launched with a 100% cotton lab coat that was way too thick and way too long and way too heavy, you know, and two different scrub sets that just were not flattering in the least bit, you know, but people stuck with us because they, you know, believed in the concept of, a female clinician style lab coat and a female clinician style scrub set that never existed. And they gave us feedback and they told us how to make it better. And I had my own instincts too, how to make it better. And you just keep going along that path, never giving up. And,
yeah, it's very interesting that just like all of medicine, nothing really has been customized to women, starting from healthcare to research studies to the locker room and the operating room, which is devoted to either nurses or males. Doctors, but there's not a women physician's locker room. There's definitely a male surgeon locker area and a male scrub tech locker area, but for women, it's all just like everybody get in there. And so, I mean, all throughout our careers, I think we find that there has not been a lot of personalization for femininity and allowing that aspect of, you know, designing for a woman's body, designing drugs that work for women, designing studies that study how medicine affects women. So important to kind of change the thinking process, because it would be so easy to just say, yeah, scrubs are scrubs and they're never going to change. But they're really built for men.
Yeah. I think that whole concept is what allowed me, you know, Metalita to stand out, because it was basically saying for the first time that here's a female-specific garment in female-specific sizing, you know, that resembles the traditional lab coat and scrubs. It's not over the top. It's not too tight. It's not, there's no prints on it. You know, it doesn't have contrast stitching. It's utilizing that original style that we're all used to wearing, but feminizing it just a little bit, making it professional, and allowing the female clinician to look appropriate really amongst their male peers. And it's still a male dominated, you know, profession.
It really is. Where do you see yourself in Metalita in the next 5 or 10 years and the profession in general, if you foresee any changes?
Yeah. I aim to just continue to innovate. I think we'll be able to do that with the partnerships that we have currently. But really where we're going is very much driven by our, the people that choose to wear Metalita and our ambassadors and the, the road that they take us on every day, and their initiatives and their endeavors and their, you know, international medical missions, and really just partnering in a way that makes sense for a garment that's meant to be so thoughtful for them, and to just kind of take this road together. I enjoy that more than anything, and that's my contribution, you know, aside from the designing and aside from developing these custom fabrics. That's all of my time is dedicated to developing, you know, real relationships and friendships with the people that truly love Metalita and want to represent our brand, but allow us to have insight into their profession, their specialty, their endeavors. It just makes this so much fun.
It really does. And do you have any advice for people out there who are wanting to become a physician's assistant or thinking about being a PA?
Yeah, actually today we hosted two PA students. One was a first year, just started at UC Davis, and another is a second year, a PA student at Marshall B. Ketchum. And it is such a tough program. It's very, very difficult to get in nowadays, but you just have to, you know, never give up. A lot of them have applied, you know, 2-3 times before they actually are able to get into a single program. You know, just do everything possible to make the statement that you truly have researched the profession, that you understand the profession, that you've spent time with PAs in more than one specialty, and get to a point in your life before you apply that you're very mature. It's a very, very difficult program. It's very fast. It's not for everybody, you know, and it's okay to go, you know, when you're 25 or when you're 30, when you're really mentally ready to take that path and pursue this dream career. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's, I don't know that I would still be able to get in at this point. You know, when I was applying, there were not very many programs, but it wasn't as well known of a career when I was applying. But now so many people are aware of the ranking of the PA profession being really the number one healthcare profession. For many, many years, it's been consistently either number one or like top three. It's just blows me away every time.
A lot of people take time off before becoming a PA, and now it's required to, you know, do a certain number of clinical hours before applying, which I think is good, because otherwise you don't really know if you want to be in a field till you really put your feet in it.
Yeah, all the PA mom, you know, Facebook groups and different forums, they talk about that a lot. I mean, so many people get burned out, or they're, you know, with a physician group, it's just the volume is just too much, or they're taking call, or it's just, and the opportunity to switch into another specialty is really what saves them, you know, rather than necessarily coming out of the profession altogether. They switch into something totally different. It's scary. It's, you know, definitely a learning curve, but they do it, and then they're happy again. And it's such a great thing about the PA profession.
Really? Is it ranked number one healthcare profession now? I was not aware of that. That's amazing.
Yeah, I read a lot about this. So when I was graduating from PA school, this was just absolutely not something that really any PAs went into. This is a newer process. I think in the last maybe 10 years, it's become extremely popular for new graduates and experienced PAs to pursue relentlessly the opportunity to work in aesthetics. A lot of our ambassadors for Metalita also, you know, work in aesthetics. I've gotten to know them and really understand their day-to-day practice and get insight into that. It takes a very strong personality. I think it takes a lot of confidence. I think it's good to have, you know, other experience really in anything first, family practice, ER, internal medicine, anything is definitely going to benefit you rather than, I think, to jump straight in. And then, you know, just build your network. It seems to be the key, you know, continually talk to people, write letters, go in person. If it's a right fit, you know, you'll definitely, you know, find a position eventually, but it is not easy, and it is the most competitive specialty within the PA profession.
Well, it's nice because you can come in with, you know, a broad set of prerequisites. You can finish training in a shorter amount of time than a physician.
Well, some people can. It depends on the program. They can choose. Usually they'll do an elective, like an extra elective in derm or in plastics. And, you know, if that's definitely their path. I still think, maybe I'm old school, I still think it's really valuable to work for at least a year or two in a primary care specialty, because before you go into a subspecialty, I've always thought that that was a valuable way to go, because the program is shorter and not everyone goes to a residency program, and it just gives you a valuable base that stays with you for life.
I think it's really versatile to become a PA these days. And one of the reasons being because you have the ability to switch different divisions. You can start out as a PA who's in the emergency medicine field and maybe switch to surgery and maybe switch to internal medicine. So that's nice because your interests do evolve. And some people can't imagine doing the same thing for a 20-year lifespan.
Absolutely. Just building your confidence and, you know, to get to your you know, the stage where you want to be long term.
It really is. Do you have any advice for people who want to become a physician's assistant in terms of becoming an aesthetics injector or plastic surgery dermatology field?
That's great. Well, we're very honored that you choose to wear.
So you would finish your PA training, get your degree as a PA, and then you'd have to do like a fellowship or a rotation with the aesthetics plastic surgeon or
Metalita scrubs and lab coats. So thank you, Dr. K, and appreciate the opportunity to get to know you better. Yeah, our website is metalita.com. And we're on Instagram with a tremendous following and ambassador pool that is very entertaining. That's at Metalita_Graham. And we're on Facebook as well, but most of our activity is on Instagram.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. It's kind of like how physicians have to do an internship year in order to get an MD officially. Like, you can't just go from books to right into like, okay, I'm ready to treat people without a year of observing and really clinically working. So yeah, our field of aesthetics and plastic surgery is very desirable and very, you know, it's fun, it's popular, it's trendy, but like, I also came from a background in real medicine. I'm a head and neck surgeon, take care of head and neck cancer and trauma, and 30% of what I do is facial plastics and aesthetics and reconstructive from my training. But it's really nice to have taken care of life-threatening situations and people who are in the ICU and death's door, and then to really understand safety measures, and then everything else is like a lot easier after that. And just become a better healthcare provider overall. So, exactly. Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast today. The things that you've done to help elevate the profession for all of us healthcare providers. When you look good, you feel good. That's one of my basic tenets and philosophies. And looking confident in what you wear is such an important part of, like, you know, how you present yourself and presenting the best version of yourself. So your white coats, your scrubs, I honestly can't tell you how often people have told me how they love my scrubs and how I look so skinny in them, which I never hear in any other pair of scrubs. So I love them. Well, you guys have to go check them out. And we're so excited to partner with you and for my Mastery of Aesthetics conference, which is coming up October 12th in Pasadena. And it's an all-day conference with some of the best injectors and experts in the world. And in our little goodie bags, we're going to have little coupons for you guys to get a discount on Metalita purchases. So thank you for that, Laura. And thanks for coming on the podcast. That's it for now, everybody. Stay beautiful. Look great in your scrubs and your white coat, and don't forget to check out Metalita. That's it for now. Hope you learned a lot, and hope all of you who are studying to be PAs out there definitely get your goals, set your goals and get them, because it's hard, but it's worth it.